This is episode number 50 with Patricia Stark. Welcome to another episode of Start It Up. I'm your host, Don Wetrick, classroom teacher, author, and innovation enthusiast. This is the podcast where we talk about startup culture, leadership, and what the future might hold for education by some of the most successful innovators, authors, and entrepreneurs. We have two sponsors for today's episode. The first is Cluster Truck. You know, Cluster Truck is simple, it's amazing, and there's so much variety. Matter of fact, Hunter and I were just downtown the other day, and we ended up ordering. The hardest part was deciding what we wanted because there is that much variety. All these different places are represented through Cluster Truck. The great part is you go on to clustertruck.com, you put in your address, you choose what you want, you pay for it there online, and boom, it was there within 15 minutes. If I wanted to go down to the restaurant down the street, it would have taken me a lot longer. Therefore, the restaurant comes to you. Cannot say enough good things about it. But don't take my word for it. They want you to try it. If you are in the Indianapolis or Bloomington area, they want you to give you your first start. Therefore, promo code is START. By using this promo code, you get $10 off your first order of $20 or more. Give it a try. I know you'll love it as much as I do. If you are in the cities of Cleveland, Kansas City, Columbus, or Denver, they are on their way. They're going to be coming to your city sometime soon. For more information, go to clustertruck.com. Do you like sports? You like a little trash talking during the games? Then Burn and Bet is for you. This is an app where you can get not only your up-to-the-minute scores of the games you follow, but you can do some fun trash talk within each game. The app was built because within the traditional social media sites, you had to filter past political posts, memes, and pictures of kittens. Not with Burn and Bet. This is an app where you can zone in on your team and trash talk against the opposing fans you love to interact with. Whether it be college sports, NBA, pro baseball, NFL, Burn and Bet has you covered. Go to the App Store or the Android Play Store and download it now. Burn and Bet, a sports app for the true sports fan. Today's episode was with Patricia Stark. She is a media trainer. She has a media training company. She's also been a host and an anchor for dozens of things, including Fox and Friends. And she a lot of times works with anchors or a lot of times politicians, CEOs, performers on how to make them more media savvy, how to work on their fear of public speaking. And we definitely get into these things, but we also kind of go broader on some of the skills that are lacking just in our students, and also just this really great insight she has on being in the moment and being a good listener. And honestly, I had to take lessons from her because I even had to confess on sometimes I have prepared for guests and I have my questions ready and I'm not active listening enough to where I'm having an interview, but I'm doing more Q&A. So she was really helpful even to me. I think you're going to love the episode. So without further ado, Patricia Stark.
Great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, so I was intrigued by some of the things that you do. You do a lot of media training. You even get into some body language training. But a lot of times we're trying to get people to get out of their comfort zone and kind of learn and acquire new skills. What is the thing that you look for when you're trying to train somebody to be media savvy? You know, how to present themselves in a professional way. What is usually the first stumbling block and what are you looking for?
Is they kind of get stuck in their head. They're extremely self-aware. They're worrying about every little detail of from what they don't know what to do with their hands to they're second guessing themselves. And I really try to help them find their comfort zone in any media situation, but also to be prepared ahead of time, to not just sit there and be kind of passive, taking Q&A and answering questions, but to know like what's their goal of why are they agreeing to be involved with the media and what is it that they want to have happen during an interview or whatever kind of appearance that they're doing, that they need a plan too, that they're not just there to kind of have somebody lead them.
Yeah, so oftentimes, obviously, people are really nervous when they do media training. What is like a good warm-up that you usually take them through to kind of get them just kind of in the flow?
So really what I like to do is have them practice like the real situation. So I will create mock interview situations or depending on what type of interview they're going to be on. If it's going to be an interview where they're sitting down with a conversation with another human being, we'll practice that way. if they're going to be placed in front of a camera and someone's going to interview them remotely to where they're speaking directly into the camera, or if it's for radio or any number of other situations, I'll try to ask them, okay, what's the real setting going to be like? And now let's create that and practice that way. So I'll put them through the interviews many times ahead of time in every kind of scenario that we can think of, throwing as many different questions and kind of situations at them so that when they get in the real situation, it doesn't feel like it's the first time.
Yeah, I've seen like your offerings. You do media training, TV host training, teleprompter, but the public speaking and presentation skills and communication skills are kind of what I wanted to hone in on. A lot of times people definitely want to, you know, kind of get a leg up, and seemingly what's holding a lot of people back is that communication kind of personal soft skills. And I know that we don't really teach that much in the K-12 scenario. And I, you know, actually even hate the term soft skills because it seems like it's less than. But when you train people to kind of be better in their, you know, in their soft skills, what is a lot of times like the first thing that you say, okay, let's zone in on this? Is it, you know, do you start off with better listening? Do you like how to build rapport, or, you know, or what do you usually look at?
Well, usually the first thing that I look at is how self-conscious are they? What is possibly making them not feel confident or trusting themselves to have just a normal human conversation? I mean, when we boil it down really to anything, whether it's public speaking or being in the media, there's whole kind of lights, camera, action, the spotlight is on me, suddenly I have to become somebody different. We really try to kind of break that down and say, no, what we need you to be is we need you to be a human being having a conversation with another human being. So the so-called soft skills would be building that rapport, having that eye contact, really looking at it like, okay, this is a human being that I'm talking to that is going to be asking me questions. And what do I do to have those communication skills that I would either during an interview situation or if I met somebody at a cocktail party or outside at any other kind of event? What things do you do to play well with others, to not be awkward, to be able to just have a human conversation and not be trying to be something that you're not or be somebody different? So a lot of it comes down to, all right, how do you trust yourself enough to just be able to relax and be you and be real and not try to be something that you think someone else wants you to be or think that you're not enough, when just being and knowing and doing the things that you know best, you're able to do. I mean, if someone is asking you to give a speech, there's a reason that they feel that you're a good person to give that speech. If someone's asking you to be involved in a media interview or asking for your opinion on Vice on something, there must be a reason that they're looking to you as possibly an expert on that subject or somebody that has experience with something that knows, has some insight that other people can learn from. So a lot of times it's just trusting that you're asked to be there for a good reason, not for any reason of somebody trying to trip you up or find out that you're an imposter or something.
Yeah, you know, I'm so glad you said that because I see the rise of YouTube personalities. And, you know, a lot of times people in news got too newsy. They didn't seem genuine and everything sounded like a short soundbite clip. It sounded like, you know, a really bad 1970s, you know, news anchor. And then all of a sudden, you know, it seems like the YouTubeization is starting to take over. And obviously the people that are really killing it are exactly what you're saying. They're genuine. They come from an authentic place. You know, I'm thinking like, you know, Gary Vee, definitely Casey Neistat. These guys have a great storytelling mechanism where they never sound overly soundbite-ish. They sound, like you said, genuine. They have human moments. And obviously more and more people are finding, you know, accessible, you know, I don't necessarily have to have a studio and be on TV. I can have my own YouTube, you know, vlog or things like that. So with that, what are some of the big mistakes you see on the flip side on like YouTubers? What are they doing? And I know we're, you know, they shouldn't necessarily be broadcast news, but what are some of the big mistakes you see with a lot of, people that are wanting to get into vlogging?
I think that just being so over the top casual and not realizing that, you know, it really just, there still are certain things that are considered manners and certain ways that we interact with people that show respect and certain levels of, okay, I want to put my best foot forward and do my best out of respect to the other person. And I think that sometimes we can go so far in the other direction that to be so over it and so chill about it really can fall flat too. I mean, you still need to have a certain level of interest and passion and enthusiasm and caring because otherwise people, why are they spending their time with you? I want to at least know that you care enough to make a decent effort if I'm going to spend my time with you.
Yeah, I also see, I totally agree. And I also see a lot of people that will try to, I hate to say it, like not be them. So, I mean, I've seen a lot of people that are trying to be Casey Neistat, or they're trying to be really over the top emotional, you know, like some of the other hosts are. And, you know, that particular host that was original and it was genuine that they are, you know, throwing a fit, then it was, I guess, genuine them. But I've seen a lot of repeaters, and it just never seems as comfortable, I guess.
Yeah, well, I think it's that whole same reason that there were the repeaters in the broadcast where everything ended up sounding cookie cutter. We've churned you out of a broadcasting school. You've now put on your anchor hat, your interview hat, your reporter sounding person that people emulated because they're like, okay, this worked. They're on the air. They're making money. They're making a living. I should emulate that. I should try to sound like that. So now we're seeing the flip side of that happening where people are seeing people with a certain degree of success. So they're trying to emulate that. They're trying to repeat that in hopes for the same success for them. When, you know, you've pointed out and you used the word before, authentic, that is where it's key. You know, like everybody should, yes, we can learn something from all these different people, but we still need to then say, okay, how does this fit me and my personality? And how am I going to put my personal fingerprint and my personal stamp on this that's going to make it feel genuine and real for me? And unfortunately, there are just some people that maybe don't have the depth or the... you know, the base to be authentic, that sometimes they can't pull that up from their own toes and they have to copy in order to make it work.
Yeah. So, as a consultant, how do you bring that out in them? I mean, if you're not wanting to be cookie cutter and God bless you that you're not, you know, you're trying to get people to be them, that's kind of a hard thing. I mean, because some people just like to emulate.
Right. And a lot of times it's almost like, you know, putting on that mask or becoming somebody else, which is the very reason that you'll see actors and actresses be great on camera playing a character. And then you see them interviewed on a show and you're like, really? This is that person that like I really liked as an actor and actress, but they can barely hold a conversation or they just sound like flaky or just they can't handle it because they're used to escaping in another character. So sometimes people will be like, well, I've got to escape into this host role, or I've got to escape into this interviewer or anchor thing because I'm going to feel safer there because it's not me, because they don't trust themselves or have the confidence in their own selves to do it. And, you know, basically what I can try to do is find out what baggage people are carrying around and what's holding them back and where they feel like they've been judged or, you know, overly criticized before, to where for some reason they feel like they can't be themselves and just relax into it. Or other times, I just can't change somebody's personality. And there will always be those people that are just naturally authentic, naturally come from an organic place. They're just comfortable with themselves. So therefore, they're comfortable in the presence of other people and just communicating and storytelling in general. And then, you know, sometimes clients will hire me and I'll just realize, look, you know what? You're asking me to change someone's fundamental personality. Yeah. And this guy or gal just ain't going to be the great, easygoing, relaxed communicator that people gravitate towards because they just don't have it in them.
Yeah. And I'm sure that's kind of a tough conversation. But yeah, I mean, not everybody, yeah, can be comfortable in their own skin, I guess. And the people that sometimes have been trained and coached up to sound like that anchor, they'll always sound like that anchor.
Right.
So getting on to something else that fascinates me is that you're kind of you do a lot of look into on body language. So, you know, here we're talking about how to read body language. Same thing. I've noticed some people in the media, you can read their body language on when they're comfortable. And of course, the new anchors, oh my, it's not funny, but it is when, you know, you can tell that they're definitely new and definitely nervous. How do you teach people to read that body language? And what advantages do they get by being both the host and the guest by learning body language?
Well, really, body language is not mind reading, and it should never be mind reading. And if you ever hear any kind of a body language specialist or expert or anybody commentating or being interviewed, and if they can ever say, well, I can definitely tell you that that person is lying because they made this face, or I can definitely tell you that that person is uncomfortable because they made this gesture or this body language move, it's snake oil, because nobody can be a mind reader.
Right.
Most of the time when those things happen, it should lead you to ask better questions. So if you see a hot spot or you see somebody that you think maybe they're uncomfortable or they're blocking off you because they're crossing their arms, well, maybe they're just cold. Or maybe they feel like they are really analyzing what you're saying and they're going to stay put and they're in it for the duration. So all different signals can be interpreted different ways. So what we were taught when I got my certification was that you're kind of diagnosing a problem. So you're not going to just say, all right, well, this body language move means this. You're going to say, all right, what facial expression went with that body language? What comment, what kind of statement was made with that? What happened with this, that, and the other thing? Okay, that could mean that a lot of times they're not comfortable, or maybe they're not telling the truth, or maybe something just happened. And what it should do is, rather than you assuming based on those little clues, it should lead you to say, so it seemed like something didn't set well with you in that last question. Can you tell me a little bit more, or make you dive a little bit deeper into asking a question or having a little bit more of a dialogue or conversation that's going in a different direction based on something that you just saw? So it really should lead you to ask better questions, have better interactions, and not just assume that what you're seeing is actually what the fact is.
Do you also use it to have the interviewer build rapport? Are there little subtle tips on, like, hey, here's how you gain some confidence, here's how they'll like pour their heart out a little bit easier, kind of thing?
Yes. So one way to build rapport is something called mirroring. So when we are in rapport, you'll see if there's two people sitting on a date out at a little restaurant and they're at a table. One may not be a righty and one may be a lefty, to where they're kind of mirror image of each other, but yet you'll see when they toast, many times they're using the hand, like I could use my right hand, and who's ever sitting across from me will use their left hand, even if they're not a lefty, because by mirroring, we're showing that kind of rapport where, you know, we're sitting similar, we're leaning similar, we're crossing our legs in a similar position. So we unconsciously do this when there is that rapport and that comfort level there. So if we know this ahead of time, we can try to mirror the other person and mirror the way that they're leaning, or the way that they're leaning in towards us or away from us. So there's those kind of things that we could do mirroring wise. We can make sure that we're open and accessible and that we're not, you know, consciously blocking or pulling an arm or a leg away from them. There's also something called the belly button rule, to where when we're actually pointing, where you could look at the other person, and if your belly button, if there was a string or straight line attached, that's all pointing in their direction. Our feet should be pointing towards each other. Everything should be, you know, really leaning so that you're my focus. I'm not looking like I'm ready to get out of there or move on to something else or move away. And then, of course, that eye contact. And when I would interview people and try to put them at ease and make them feel comfortable on camera, I'd make sure that I'm really listening and that I'm practicing active listening. I've had guests actually tell me, you know, you really helped me through that interview because you looked so engaged. You were really nodding and acknowledging me facially, and nonverbal acknowledgments that really helped them be like, oh, she gets it. She understands what I'm saying, where I'm coming from. And if they looked like they were going to blank out for a second, I could sense that. You could almost see that look on their face, and I would jump in and try to help them.
Yeah,
through
kind
that
of give them the save. Yeah.
Ask a question. Exactly.
Yeah, that's. I'm glad you said that, because too often times, and I struggle with this, I mean, there are times where I try to over prep for a show, and then I've found that a lot of times if I just have basically two questions, and I might even throw both those, like I'll have a lead question, and then just listening better to the guest, because I got caught in this trap of, okay, I've got 15 really great things for my guest, and then I'm so focused on asking my questions that I forget to have a conversation.
Exactly.
And then the interview is terrible because it's so robotic. And one time I listened to one that actually I decided not to release, and I called the guy back, and I'm like, hey, I listened to it, and it was terrible. And he was gracious enough to go, yeah, you ask questions for the sake of asking questions. And I'm glad that he pointed it out, and obviously I found it. But I started to just be more in the moment and definitely started to be more active listening. And my gosh, those follow-up questions, some people want to even tip their hand on like, hey, please ask me more about this without being overt. So I definitely agree on that active listening. So a lot of times our listeners are, I've kind of got an educational slant. Young people right now, and boy, I hate to say, pigeonhole, but right now there is such a disconnect with people not active listening. I see so many, millennials and younger, that they'll be talking and looking at their phone. Please give a bit of advice on how to put down, is there any tips or strategies you tell people, like, definitely, like a no phone at the dinner table kind of thing? How do you get more people that are younger to actively engage and listen and just for a while put down the phone?
Right. Look, I love my phone too, and I can be addicted to it in certain respects, as far as that's how I keep in touch with so many people, with, new clients, with family, with my social media, with so many things. I mean, it's truly like an extension of all of us now, but it is also a great distractor, and it does take us out of the moment. I have a 13-year-old boy, and we struggle this with ourselves too, and it's just the three of us. He's an only child, and we'll go out to dinner, or we'll be at certain moments, and we'll just be like, look, all right, we all have to agree to let's just disconnect right now for a little while, because otherwise it's just too tempting. One person will agree that they're not going to get on, and then all of a sudden something will happen. We'll be like, oh, well, let me ask Google about that, or let me ask Siri. And then, we'll think that we're looking something up to contribute to the conversation, and then all of a sudden it's another reason to get back on the phone again. So, I think that life moves really quickly, and it will pass us by, and those people that we love and care about are not going to always be in our lives. I've learned that losing three very close family members over the last year, and if we're not in that moment, we don't get those moments back again. So it's just like anything else that we love to do, that if we don't do it in moderation, there's a price to pay. And we have to remember that, these things are all useful and they're wonderful. And as much as when my son was little, I could continue pushing him on the swing set and not have to go up to my office to check my email, and that was great. But then, we can take that a step further and miss something really cool that somebody says or that somebody does or something that happens because we are not giving somebody our full attention. And I think that the greatest gift in the world that you can give to somebody is your full attention. And I'll never forget when my son was smaller and he was telling me something. And I don't think I was on my phone or my laptop. I could have been. I don't know what it was. But I remember I said to him, Logan, I'm listening. I'm listening. And he looked at me and he goes, no, listen with your eyes.
Yeah.
And I went, oh, God, he's right.
Yeah.
Called me out on it. He didn't have my full attention.
Yep.
So to give somebody your eyes, your ears, your nonverbals, your energy, you're really being 100% in the moment with them. Oh my God, what an amazing, wonderful gift that is to give to somebody else that hopefully you care enough about to do that with.
I've got a teenager myself, and one time I pointed out the fact that I was watching her friends and they were together and none of them were together. They were all with somebody else at some other location. Like they were tweeting and Snapchatting people that weren't at that table. And so I asked them, I didn't want to embarrass her. I'm like, so if the friends that you were Snapchatting with, had they been with you at that table, what would you have done? And she laughed. She's like, I probably would have snapped the people that I was with at the table at the current moment. like they were so obsessed with capturing everything else to let every signal to everybody else that they're having a good time, they forgot to have a good time.
Right. Right.
Yeah, I've seen so many people at concerts and stuff. They're not watching the concert. They're watching their phone recording it. So anyway.
Yeah. Well, I was just going to say, it's the same thing that happened when personal video recorders first came out. Everybody was laughing that everybody was recording every school play, every moment of their child's life, but yet they really weren't experiencing it because they were capturing
through
it for the lens.
Yep.
You know, so thankfully we kind of got out of that, and I know that it's switched over to our phone and things like that now. But I think that every new generation with new technology has had to juggle and to struggle with this. I mean, think about when the telephone first came out. People were probably saying, oh my goodness, that's interfering with our lives. They keep calling when I'm trying to be with my family, and you're talking to somebody that's not even here and they're 3,000 miles away. Why don't you be with the person that's really with you now? And then when the television was invented and they were like, why aren't we telling stories anymore? Why aren't we playing board games? Why aren't we really being with each other? We're all staring at this stupid screen watching a movie. You know, I mean, every time that something new like this has come to pass, we've all had to digest it, get excited about it, get overwhelmed by it, have it infiltrate the wrong areas until eventually, hopefully, it settles out and we start to find that balance.
No, I totally agree. I mean, that's everybody on their first 3 months of a phone. That first day, you are getting every app, you are getting adjusted, you don't put it down. That first 24 hours, forget it. And then little by little, you kind of like try to return to that normalcy. And honestly, that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show. I mean, really, you're about communication. And you do, you know, great training, and you get people media prepared. But what I've enjoyed is, and especially this conversation, is also the other side of the not talking part of communication. The active engagement, the mindfulness, the, as your son said, listening with your eyes. I love hearing that, because too often times we get pigeonholed into what is your camera presence and how good do you look, you know, in good lighting, and do you ask good follow-up questions? And in the meantime, you're over here talking the other side of it, which I just love.
One thing I want to just add there, if I can,
sure,
is that, you know, the best communicators really have always been the best listeners, and the best leaders that I work with in corporate have really been the best listeners, for sure. I mean, that's just really, I see it time and time and time again, that is what is so important. And as far as the whole lights, camera, action, and trying to look good and sound good and all those other things, I really still will believe, and I will send this point home every time, that once you get in front of that camera or in front of that microphone, you can't change anything about your preparation, your hair, your makeup, your voice, your experience, your background, any of those things. And at that point, it has to become all about the viewer or the listener. Because if it's the All About You show with all of those other things that we're worrying about, it's a turnoff, and there's a million other places that we can go now to be engaged and learn something. But if you make it mainly be your goal, once you're in front of that camera or that microphone, to give value, to be of service, to entertain, to educate, to inspire, to make all those things be about that viewer and listener and for that viewer and that listener, then you've really touched on what I think most people are looking for. Because it doesn't matter what channel you're on. Everybody's tuned to WIFM, what's in it for me? And if you're not giving something of value and you're not being of service, you're a turnoff, and they will turn you off.
That was awesome. I loved it. And you're right. I mean, the people that always stick out in our mind, they had genuine moments. And well, I mean, I know this isn't necessarily the news business, but I always think of like Tom Hanks. Not the best looking guy, not the most overly dramatic guy, but consistently human and makes you feel comfortable. I loved how that, people are wanting to know what's in it for them. It's not about you. It's about what the value you're bringing to them. That's awesome. Patricia Stark, I thank you so much for being on. But before we leave, tell everybody your website, where they can find you and all that good stuff.
Sure. So my website is patriciastark.com. My Instagram, where I give lots of free tips and behind the scenes stuff, and I have fun doing it every day, and I do try to provide as much value, is Patricia Stark Communications. And then Twitter is @ClickPatricia. So I love engaging with people, and I love to just give value wherever I can. So you will find that in those places.
Yeah, I love the little short tips and things like that. It's really valuable, and just a nice little resource to have. So I really genuinely appreciate you being on the show. I love the insights you're bringing, and so appreciate you spending time with us today.
Well, thank you so much, and thank you for giving me the opportunity, and thank you for a great interview. You made it easy for me.
Thanks so much, Patricia.
All right, take care.
Thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed this episode. We'd love to know what you think. Join us on our Facebook page, facebook.com/startedup. You can always email us, don@startedupinnovation.com. Also, if you are a parent or a student or a teacher and you want to bring more innovation to your school, whether it be elementary, middle, or high school, please look up startedupinnovation.com. We have a plan for you. Also want to remind you that we now have every Monday our Monday Motivation series. It is basically a 5 to 6 minute shot in the arm. Hopefully it'll get your week started off right. So again, this podcast every Monday, Monday Motivation. Also remember that to create and serve fosters a life of purpose and abundance. And those opportunities are everywhere. Thanks for listening.